Welcome to the Northside Christian Church podcast. This is the collection of weekly sermons from our staff. Northside Christian Church exists to connect people to Christ and one another, so we want to hear how God is working in your life. Share your story by emailing amen@northsidechristianchurch.net or by tagging your tweets with #AmenNCC. For more information about Northside, visit our website, northsidechristianchurch.net.
You know, one of the most basic functions in life is breathing. And for me, it's involuntary. I don't have to think about it. I'm not saying, you know, inhale, exhale, breathe in oxygen, exhale carbon dioxide. I don't have to think about it. I don't have to decide. It just comes naturally. In fact, for me, it's about 12 breaths a minute when I'm just sitting down. I know that because I counted this morning. I just counted as I sat there. I did the stopwatch and started counting my breaths. It was about 12. Now, what's kind of weird about that is because you don't think about breathing, when you start thinking about breathing, you start breathing weird. So I don't know if that's a normal. I should have asked Dr. Neely back there, who's doing our slides today, if this is appropriate or not around 12. I noticed because as I was doing it, I'm like, you know, trying not to think about it, but you're thinking about it. So pretty soon you're like, you know, it's just kind of weird that way, how that works. But today I want everyone to be conscious about your breathing. I want you to think about your breathing. In fact, just go ahead and take a deep breath in and then just breathe out. Just go ahead and do it. It's just proof you're breathing. Now, who gave you that breath? Who gave you that breath? Who is the author of our breath? Who is the one that breathed life into you? Acts 17, 25 says that He, God Himself, gives everyone life and breath and everything else. Everything we have, every great gift from God, including the most basic, essential thing in life, that just breathing, that of breathing, it is from God. Breathing is vital. Without it, life becomes a fight. I didn't realize as I was preparing this sermon that today, Rodney Swope, who had a lung transplant here several months ago, I saw him walk in the building today, came to Sunday school class. Is he here right now? Is Rodney in here right now? Where's he at? Where's Rodney at? Right there. Praise God, man. Awesome. Awesome. We've been praying for Rodney. He's been in a fight as he had to get new lungs. He knows better than any of us how important breath is. I know for about a year now, our staff team has been praying with Ryan and Jessica Clements. A lot of you may know Jessica. She's our communications director. This is her husband, Ryan, their little guy who is a little older now, not so young now. That picture was from back at Easter of 2016. But we've been praying for their nephew because their nephew, Ezekiel, when he was born, he did not have a pulmonary artery that was going to his lungs. He was not getting oxygen to his lungs. Where we operate between 95 and 100% oxygen level, he was averaging like in the 60s. And life was difficult and hard for him. And he's had to go through surgeries, multiple surgeries, to try to get oxygen into his blood. He's been oxygen depleted. And this is a little video of him here just a little bit of time ago. He had just had his surgery. They put in a tube. It went from 4 millimeters to 14 millimeters. He's now getting four times the amount of oxygen into his body. And these were the first smiles that he had given in days. Now you look at him, and with the oxygen levels now increased because they were limiting it, and now that they've got the oxygen levels back up, there he is smashing down some mashed potatoes, doing way better. Man, his life is changing just because the fact that he's breathing. And he's getting oxygen into his blood because we were created and made to breathe. If we don't have the right oxygen levels, man, life is depleted. It is unhealthy. And so over the next several weeks, we're going to discover that breathing is like worship. Breathing to our physical bodies is what worship is to our spiritual health, to our spiritual lives. Louis Giglio said it this way. He said, worship is giving God's breath back to Him. Worship is giving God's breath back to Him. The breath that He gives us, what worship is giving that breath back to Him. He reveals Himself to us, we respond. We breathe in, we breathe out. He reveals, we respond. He reveals, we respond. Biblically, receiving from God and not praising Him for it is a sin. It's a sin. Worship is essential to our spiritual life, just as breathing is to our physical life. And it is my belief that many Christians are operating at less than normal levels of worship. They don't even realize how spiritually depleted they are in their worship. Like Ezekiel, they're lacking oxygen. We're operating at 60 to 70% when God created us to operate at 100%. We should worship like our life depends on it, because it does. It does. Now, I know that over the next several weeks, as we begin this series called Learning to Breathe, Worshiping Like Your Life Depends on It, I understand that we're going to be talking about all the different dynamics of worship and what that looks like. But today, I want us to think a little bit more about corporate worship, about what's happening right here, right now, this morning. Here you are. You're here to worship. And I want you to reflect on this a little bit. So if you have your Bible or you have a device, I want you to open up to Psalm chapter 150. Psalm 150. And as you open up to Psalms, right in the middle of your Bible, you're going to the very last Psalm, 150. You're opening up to the largest collection of lyrical poetry in existence. The Greek word psalmos, which is translated from the Hebrew mizmer, signifies music that is accompanied by stringed instruments. In fact, so many instruments are mentioned throughout the Psalms that it must have been worship on a grand scale. The Psalms formed the hymnal of the temple as the Jews worshiped there. The Psalms has many authors as they express their individual emotions to God, stirred by the thought of Him. And so what we have in the Psalms are these inspired responses of human hearts to God's revelation of Himself through law and history and prophecy. That's what the Psalms are. And so the Psalm concludes with Psalm 150. And so as we begin this series, we're going to go to the very last Psalm, Psalm 150. We're going to read it together because this is the grand doxology of the Psalms. And the Psalms are all about worship of our God, teaching us how to breathe. And Psalm 150 says this. It says, "Praise the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in His mighty heavens. Praise Him for His acts of power. Praise Him for His surpassing greatness. Praise Him with the sounding of the trumpet. Praise Him with the harp and lyre. Praise Him with the timbrel and dancing. Praise Him with the strings and the pipe. Praise Him with the clash of cymbals. Praise Him with resounding cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord." Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Alleluia. Praise ye the Lord. It's listed 13 times. 10 of them is a command. You, an imperative command. You, praise the Lord. You, praise the Lord. There are a number of psalms that take this approach, calling people to worship, commanding people to worship, inspiring people to worship. And you want to know why? Here's why. Because if you want to experience life-giving worship, then first of all, understand this. Life-giving worship must be encouraged. It must be encouraged. You know, sometimes a baby has to be encouraged to breathe. In fact, oftentimes they're encouraged to breathe. It's not so much that they have to learn how, as much as they just need to be encouraged. When they're born, oftentimes oxygen levels are low, and the doctor, he sucks out the nose and he sucks out the mouth to make sure that the pathways are clear, and they rub the baby's back or head or feet. That's replaced hanging them upside down and spanking them, you know, like they used to do. Man, we were so messed up as people. But anyway, they're like, you know, that's really actually not really that good for the baby. Why don't we just rub the back a little bit? You know, why didn't somebody think of that? Anyway, a long time ago. But they'll rub their feet, rub their back a little bit, just to encourage this child to fill its lungs with air, with oxygen. And what we see in the Psalms is that worshipers need a little encouragement. Oftentimes we need a little encouragement to fill up these lungs and express that breath back to God in worship. And so the author says we should praise Him. We should praise him in his sanctuary. Many authors believe that he's talking about the sanctuary on earth, that God's dwelling place on earth. And he says, and in the mighty heavens, in heaven itself. And when a Jew heard these words, praise him in the sanctuary, they likely would have thought of the temple where they would gather, where they would go to worship God as a community. And the author's encouraging everyone to worship God on earth as he's being worshiped in heaven. In other words, there is power when we come together and worship God. And he inspires them, encourages them, calls them, commands them to worship God in this way. He encourages them, because when you worship God, it encourages other people to also worship God. We heard last week in a testimony from a family that brought someone from a completely different faith, from a different, completely different part of the world. And when they got in here, in this worship gathering, he too began to just worship because he was inspired to do so. And here's my question. Do you worship in such a way that it inspires others to worship? Did your worship already this morning, in the way that you worship, did it inspire or encourage those around you to also worship? We may need to grow in this area. I recall a member in our church talking about the fact that there were times in worship when he would be so moved by the words or the music or the songs and what he was singing and what he was singing about to God, but he would look around him at the people around him, and those around him seemed disengaged, seemed unresponsive, didn't seem to be all that much into it, didn't seem to be gathering any meaning out of it, didn't seem to be expressing their heart to God at all. And he said he found it discouraging to actually look at the people around him. So he just closed his eyes and just worshiped God himself, because to look around was discouraging, but to worship God was encouraging. It should not be that way. It should never be that way. You know what happens when a person is not responding to stimulation? And maybe they're not breathing on their own. You know what happens? Medical personnel go into action. If someone is not responding to stimulation, they don't seem to be breathing on their own, they don't look alive, people get concerned, okay? The medical, they go into action. And pretty soon, if they don't seem to be breathing on their own, there's chest compressions. I mean, they're doing things to try to bring life and breath back into this person, because that's very concerning. I'm wondering, maybe we should do the same thing in worship here at Northside. In fact, I think maybe we should start a new ministry team. They're called the Spiritual Worship Assessment Team. And they are scattered throughout the worship center. And when they see someone who does not look like they are engaged, stimulation's coming, there's no response, they're not involved, they don't seem to be, something is wrong, immediately that person should start chest compressions. Right then, right now, you are empowered by our elders in that moment just to throw them down, start chest compressions, breathe life into these people. Rodney's an exception. It'd be painful today. So maybe in a few weeks. So we don't do that right now. But I'm telling you, maybe we just need a worship service team and breathe life into it. Because when we encounter the presence of God, when we look at these words that we're singing about, when we remember the things that God has done, it should solicit a response. Maybe they're starved for oxygen. They're starved for worship. I don't know all the reasons why some people seem spiritually unresponsive in worship. There could be many reasons. Now, for some, it could be because of pain and hurt. They could be struggling to breathe. In fact, maybe they feel like they've had the breath knocked out of them. And they feel like they have nothing to give. I remember when Owen was riding one of those hoverboards, you know, the little two, you stand on it and you're just like, and you're riding around. We were at his cousin's house. He was riding it around. We were in the gym, and I walked up to him, and I went like this, and apparently I have big feet. The hoverboard went over my toe, and it didn't hurt me at all, but when he went over my toe, suddenly he lost his balance, and it did one of these, bam, I mean, he went down, smack, so hard, and I saw his head hit, so I was worried about his head, but immediately realized the head was the least of his concerns, because for the first time that I know of in his existence, he had the breath knocked out of him, and for the first time, in Owen, and this happened just a year ago, Thanksgiving, I saw fear in his eyes. It was that moment of, I can't catch my breath. I can't breathe. And I could just see his eyes got bigger than I've ever seen before. And he was looking at me. And I kneeled down to him. I said, it's okay, buddy. You got the breath knocked out of you. It's going to come back. It's okay. You'll breathe here in just a second. Just relax. You know, just breathe. You know, which someone who's had the breath knocked out of them, they just love it when you say that. Just breathe. You know, that's the problem that I'm having right now. But maybe you've had an event where you just had the breath knocked out of you, and you're hurting, you're struggling, you're wounded, you're recovering, and for many people in our country, today is one of those days. You know, September 11th is one of those days that for many in our country, there are connections, there's friendships, there's family, there are wounds, there's hurt, there's memories that kind of take their breath away. Maybe in those occasions, it's hard in those moments to give our breath to God when we feel like the breath's been knocked out of us. But I just want to encourage you to follow the example of the psalmist, that when your breath's been knocked out of you, just hang in there, and then as soon as you can start to breathe again, do what the psalmist did. They took all that hurt, they took all that pain, they took all that struggle directly to God, they poured out their heart to God, they worshiped God anyway, they didn't wait till they felt like doing it, they just acted their way back into the feeling, they poured it all to God, and then God, it was then that he renewed their strength, that he breathed new life into them. And I don't know what the reason is for your struggle right now, but I know that when we struggle, we need to be encouraged to come to God and to worship God, and that's what I'm doing for you today, church. I'm letting the psalmist encourage you today, call you out, inspire you, challenge you, worship God. Praise him today. You, not someone else, not a worship team up here, you, praise him. Hebrews 10:25 says, don't give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encourage one another all the more as you see the day approaching. We need encouragement in the corporate gathering, and we're encouraging you to worship. And the way we encourage people to worship is reminding them why we worship, giving them a reason for worship. And that's what the psalmist does in verse 2. Verse 1, he calls us to praise him, but in verse 2, he says, praise him for his acts of power. Praise him for his surpassing greatness. If today you're struggling to remember why you're praising, why you're worshiping, okay, then praise him for his greatness. Our God is great. Praise him for his acts of power. He has power over death. He has power over sin. He has power over everything you can imagine. He has power. Praise him for that. Psalm 33 and Psalm 105 are examples of this as well, where there's a call or a command to worship followed by a reason why. And it says because of his wonders, because of what he's done, because of his miracles, because of what he's done, because of the judgments he's pronounced. His judgments are right and fair. For his justice, his mercy, his forgiveness. There's always a reason to praise the Lord. Sometimes we just need to be reminded of that. That's how we encourage one another to sing. It's not mindless singing. There's meaning in the words. And when you know the why, then your worship will be infused with greater appreciation, greater admiration. And so I want to say this. Not only should life-giving worship be encouraged, but life-giving worship must be learned. It must be learned. Surely you have had the same experience I have, which is the more you learn about God, the more you know God, the more experiences you have with God, the more you learn about him, the more you have to worship and praise him for. My worship today is far greater than my worship was 15 years ago, 10 years ago, 5 years ago. My worship today is greater because of knowing God greater. The more I've learned, the more I've witnessed his work in his hand on my life, the more I've witnessed his work in the lives of other people, the more I've become aware of my own sinfulness and his grace and mercy, the more compelled I am to praise him. In fact, there have been times when I've been moved to tears by the words of a song or while in prayer to God because I'm aware of what he has done for me. Psalm 105, verse 1 says, give thanks to the Lord, call on his name, make known among the nations what he's done. Sing to him, sing praise to him. In other words, when we worship God, we're proclaiming to others, to the nations, what God has done in our life. Sing to him, sing praise to him, tell of all his wonderful acts, glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Look to the Lord and his strength. Seek his face always. Remember the wonders he has done, his miracles and the judgments he pronounced. You have a reason to worship. The more you learn about God, the more meaningful your worship will be. And so you can grow in this skill of worship. You can do that. Just as you grow in the skill of breathing. Breathing is natural, right? Seems involuntary. And yet, if you are going to do anything greater, if you're going to rise to a greater level, you have to learn how to breathe. Ask anybody who has to do so. Runners are taught how to breathe efficiently, inhaling through the nose, out through the mouth. Weightlifters are taught how to excel when they're pressing against the weight. In music, they have such a thing called breath support, and they train the diaphragm so they can breathe appropriately and better. You have breath marks in music. They actually tell you when to breathe. Breathe here. Well, it would seem that I would just breathe when I need to, but no, you breathe here. That's when you do it. Marching band, you have to breathe correctly so you won't disrupt the music and you can play at the right times. In other words, we learn to breathe and skill. Worship is an area that we can grow in. We can learn to worship, learn to breathe with God so we can be more effective and accomplish more for His glory, because that's something unique we get to offer God as His creation. You know, you look at all of creation, and creation worships God. It does what it was designed to do. Jesus told the storm to be quiet. It wasn't designed to do that, and yet it still obeyed him. Jesus told a fish to get into the net, and they swam as fast as they could to get there. Jesus told lame legs to walk, and muscles contracted in response. Creation does what it was created to do, but man has a choice. Whether to worship God with the breath that God has given them or not. And I'm challenging you today to have life-giving worship. And that kind of worship must be encouraged. And that kind of worship must be learned. We grow in this as we grow in Christ, as we grow in God. But also number three is this: life-giving worship must be expressed. It must be expressed. And so the psalmist in 150 that we just read, verses 3 through 6, he commands them to express their worship in many different ways. He says, worship with the trumpets, the harp, the lyre, the tambourine, the strings, the flute, the clashing cymbals, the resounding cymbals. All of these instruments are being used as an expression of praise and worship to God. And the psalmist says, bring it all out, use it all for His glory. And then he says, and praise the Lord with dancing. All right, now we've gone too far. Isn't it interesting how some cultures, we are culturally inhibited in certain ways, and other cultures, they're not inhibited by those things at all? Okay, so I know that when it comes to communion, I often lead into communion with a few thoughts and a prayer, things like this. When I was in Kenya, this was some of the lead into communion. This was just one of many, many. But this is our prepping. See, they're all gathered around the table right now, prepping the bread, prepping the juice. They've just been talking about, you know, Jesus and what He's done for us. And just group after group would come up and dance and sing and all this stuff. It was awesome, and the congregation was getting into it. And the more they got into it, the more they got into it. It was dancing before the Lord. Boy, I'm telling you, in our culture, we are so inhibited in our worship. And it's a cultural thing, not a biblical thing. In fact, it actually kind of goes against the Bible in many ways, how inhibited we've been with our dancing before the Lord. But boy, they dance after that. It's something I enjoyed when I was there. We can grow in this. And so sometimes when you feel inhibited in worship, your expression to God, clapping, raising your hand, whatever, which all those things the Bible commands us to do, dance, clap, sing, lift up our hands to our God, we're commanded to do that. And so when you don't feel like doing that, it's a cultural thing, not a biblical thing.
We could grow in our expression of worship. And then verse 6, Psalm 150. Everything that has breath, everything that has breath. I'm pretty sure the word means everything that has breath. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Young and old, male and female, black, white, every color in between, mankind, creature, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Use your breath to speak, to sing, to proclaim, to whisper, to shout praise to God. Our whole being should enter into praise. Corporate worship is biblical. Psalm 22:22 says, I will declare your name to my brothers in the congregation. I will praise you. When you worship God and sing to God, you're declaring his name to your brothers and your sisters. In Psalm 149:1, praise the Lord. Sing to the Lord a new song. His praise in the assembly of the saints. In fact, in just a moment, we're going to do just that. We're going to sing a new song. New to many of you, not all of you, but new to us in corporate worship. You see, the essence of worshiping God is exalting him in our hearts and actions. Our hearts and our actions. And if we lack one of these, the heart or the action, you're no longer engaged in true worship. How we live our lives, what we do with our lives, how we honor God with our lives, that is an act of worship. And we want our actions to match what we're singing about and what we're saying. That's an act of worship. Your heart and your actions should be about giving God praise. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. The breath you have received from God must be given back to him. Otherwise, you're just breathing in, breathing in, breathing in. And sometimes that's the way people do spiritual worship. Breathe in, breathe in, breathe in. In fact, just try it for a minute. Let's just do it really quick, okay? So on the count of three, I want you to just take a deep breath in and then hold it, okay? One, two, three. Breathe in again. Hold it. Okay, exhale, let it out. All right. All right, some people, that's how we worship. We just breathe in, breathe in, breathe in, breathe in, breathe in. But we're not expressing our breath back to God. Giving God's breath back to him is reinvigorating. It's life-giving. Worship is breathing God's glory in and out. And it's giving our gratitude to him. And I know that some of you today, you may feel spiritually dry, you feel spiritually dead, you feel spiritually lifeless, you struggle to worship because you feel distant from God, you feel unable to breathe today. And I'm telling you, God wants to breathe new life into you. He wants to breathe new life into you. He wants to do a new work in you today. God wants to give life to your dead body. And he wants to breathe over you with his spirit. And he wants you to spiritually breathe in and to breathe out in your worship of him. He wants to breathe into you so that you can give your breath back to him. I think it's interesting that in John 20 verse 22 it tells us that Jesus breathed on his disciples. It says that he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. He was giving life to them. It reminds me of the book and the movie Lion, Witch, and the Wardrobe, when Aslan breathed on those frozen dead statues, because that witch had frozen them and they were lifeless. And Aslan went in there and he breathes on them and they come to life again and everything has color again, and instead of pale, they're now whole and healed. Reminds me of Ezekiel. When the prophet reveals that God is going to take Israel, who's become lifeless and spiritually unresponsive and dead, and he's going to breathe new life into her. He would restore her to her land and give life-giving power to her. I want us to listen to these words from Ezekiel. I'm going to read these, but as I do, I'd like for our servers to be dismissed for our time of communion that is coming shortly. But look at these words and how God wants to breathe life into us in Ezekiel. Then he said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, dry bones. Some of you may feel like that today. Dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath enter you, and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you, and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord. Then he said to me, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to it, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Come, breath, from the four winds, and breathe into these slain that they may live. I will put my spirit in you, and you will live, and I will settle you in your own land. Then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken, and I have done it, declares the Lord. Do you see what God wants to do to people who are dry and barren? He wants to breathe life into us. He wants to breathe life into you. He wants to bring you from death to life, from being spiritually unresponsive to life. It's his breath in your lungs. It's his breath in your lungs that you are giving back to him in admiration and gratitude. That's what it means to praise him. Admiration and gratitude. So today, before we take communion, which is for all believers, to remember what Jesus did for us in sacrificing his life for us as we take bread and juice to remember his body and blood. Before we do that, I want us to take an opportunity right now to express our praise to God. The breath that he's put in our lungs, we give it back to him. In fact, the words you're about to sing go like this. You give life. You are love. You bring light into the darkness. You give hope. You restore every heart that is broken. Great are you, Lord. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise. We pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise to you only. You give life. You are love. That's the words we're going to express to God right now. I want to pray right now that you would just lift up your voice to God. You would praise him. That you would give glory to him. You would honor him. You would take this breath that he's given you and you would express it back to him in admiration and gratitude and praise for who he is. So church, let's stand together and let's lift up our voices to him.
Thanks for joining Northside Christian Church for our weekly podcast. Don't forget to share your story with us by emailing amen@northsidechristianchurch.net or by tagging your tweets with #AmenNCC.